Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University of Malta. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing the many research projects undertaken by the university's academics from all fields of study. I'm very pleased to have with me today on Research Matters, Dr. Alexei Dinley. Just a few words about him. He's very young. We can say he's 30 years old, so he's young enough to have his age mentioned on radio. He attributes most of his early sort of formation, educational formation, to the De La Salle College. After completing his matriculation examinations, he read a Bachelor of Science degree in Information Technology within the University of Malta, where he obtained first class. Immediately afterwards, he decided to continue his studies at the University of Sheffield in the UK. To earn a living, he worked as a researcher within the same university, and he spent a little less than 3 years. And while there, he pursued, I might say in record time, a doctorate in computer science. His work was much praised by international professors, and it was awarded a world-class status. It was also published in books, journals, and in some of the most prominent conferences on the subject. Upon his return to Malta, he worked for about 4 years as a senior manager within the Employment and Training Corporation. He took care of three departments, ICT, Research and Labour Market Analysis. In those years, he also managed to obtain a MBA with specialization in technology management from Grenoble Business School in France, where he graduated with distinction. With the opening of the new faculty of ICT in 2007, he moved over to the Department of Intelligent Computer Systems, where he holds the position of lecturer. He was recently appointed as representative of the faculty on the Digital Games Initiative. Dr. Dingley is also the mayor of Valletta. Welcome to you, Dr. Dingley.
Welcome, Patricia.
Clearly, your interests are computers and particularly, I can see, digital games initiatives, digital games production in Malta. Is it still a dream? Is it going to happen? And if so, how?
All right. Well, so far, I would say it's rather a dream. However, we're noticing, especially with this initiative, that there have been some hidden pockets all over the island where people were working and developing software for these companies, even big companies, and sort of we never got them together. It all started a few years ago, actually. Throughout the past recession, we were noticing that the gaming industry was one of the very few industries that was still going strong. So you had the recession in America, but people were still buying games and playing games. So it was one of the strongest areas in the economy worldwide, I would dare to say. Apart from that, we're also seeing that researchers are noticing that most probably the gaming industry will continue to bloom after the recession, especially with new technologies. We have things such as the Nintendo Wii. I'm sure everybody heard about it and its revolutionary controller. Now we have Microsoft Project Natal, which is a hands-free controller, so you don't even need a controller. So we're seeing all these exciting things. And another interesting thing is that it's not just gaming. I mean, people are also using games for learning. Recently, I've also read an article about somebody who was giving a talk at TED, one of the main conferences in the United States, and she stated that collectively we play about 3 billion hours per week, which is not a small number.
Mind-boggling.
Yes. And actually, she said that we should be playing 20 billion hours per week. And her rationale was quite simple, and I agree with it. Sort of, when you see somebody playing, if it's a kid or an adult, I mean, these people are seriously playing, they're immersed in the game. And sometimes we don't realize that, they're gaining skills from the, from these games. So her point was we should play more, but learn more from these games, sort of having games more educational. But apart from that, we've seen the game industry flourish in these years, even with all this global recession. So the idea was, listen, why don't we do something about it? I mean, if we manage to get just a small slice of the pie, we'll be more than happy. In the past years, unfortunately, we've had contacts with even large companies. A case in point was Ubisoft, which is one of the biggest publishers in the world. And they came to check whether we are capable of offering assistance. Unfortunately, at the time, we had problems with capacity. We didn't have enough students, any specialization in the game industry, and all the different sectors. So what we're trying to do in this initiative is precisely to try to get things rolling and start this initiative. Obviously, it will take time. So far, it's still a dream. But I'm sure that we'll manage to find all these different people that are interested in the industry. I can see from my students, I mean, most of them, when I mentioned the game industry, their eyes simply light up. And I mean, they all play games. I play games too. And they want to be in that industry. So I'm sure that the uptake will be quite good.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. There's many places out there. I mean, China, of course, and Taiwan and Singapore, where I'm sure there are lots of people who've been in this business a lot longer than we have in the business of, mm-hmm. of computer development mm-hmm. and this sort of thing. I'm sure they're all madly noticing the same things that you're noticing, that mm-hmm. The recession hasn't hit the digital games area, and they'll all be investing millions into it. Mm-hmm. Do we have any chance of getting even a very thin slice of the pie? Do you think we have anything particular to offer, or do you feel that the pie is so large and the business is so great that perhaps there would be something even for us?
Yes. Actually, I think that even though there are these big players, I mean, the gaming industry is divided into different sectors. So you would have the what's called the AAA games, which are the top games, which are almost film-like games, I would dare to say. Then you would have the other side of the spectrum, the smaller games, maybe flash games, games which you find in the browsers. One of the most famous games is Farmville on Facebook. I'm sure everybody has a farm these days. apart from that, there's the mobile industry, which is also growing, and we're expecting it to grow further in the coming years with the iPhone and the App Store, which is quite popular, actually, for games. So there are different categories of games. Apart from that, there's the game industry in Europe and in the United States. And one of the advantages which we have over these places is that, obviously, our educational system is one of the best which there are in Europe. But apart from that, we also have our wages, which are still competitive compared to the northern part of Europe and even the United States. So I think we have a plus over there. What we're trying to do is to sort of attack the sector in two different ways, in parallel, obviously. We're trying to tap into the larger market. As I said, a few years ago, Ubisoft was interested. So we're trying to contact companies that are of the caliber of Ubisoft and other big companies, and we're trying to get them to Malta. Obviously, we have to increase our capacity further, but I'm sure since Ubisoft was interested, which is one of the largest, I'm sure others will be interested too. And then there's the other side of the market, the smaller game market, maybe the indie game, the independent games. These days, you find games written by two, three people, independent games. Obviously, you won't expect the same level of games, but they are still popular because one of the important aspects of a game is not only the graphical side, but there's also the gameplay. And you would find games which maybe are not so impressive when it comes to graphics, but then they would have a very good gameplay. So they would still sell quite a lot. So I think if we target both markets and try to prepare ourselves, maybe we start from the indie game, and then we'll prepare ourselves for the larger markets, I'm sure we'll find our piece of the pie.
Yes, my limit is on my iPhone is Solitaire and Removum, okay. And that's about it. But I'm sure there are lots of very interesting games even at a mobile phone, yes, level. And as you say, perhaps one can sort of get in at that stage and then grow with it.
Mm-hmm.
The students that you have, you say yes, their antenna go up obviously, and they think, oh great, gaming, this is a good thing to be in. Do the students need to have particular skills? I'm thinking of the gaming industry being a sort of rather a multidisciplinary, mm-hmm, area. So, mm-hmm, it's not just the guy who's terribly good at programming,
yes,
or something.
Yes,
they must have value added, I presume.
Yes, yes. Well, I come from the faculty of ICT. One of the shortfalls which we have at the moment is that unfortunately we don't train our students in game production, but we're working in that direction, sort of to offer them some training when it comes to producing games. But apart from that, we have what we call APTs, the Applied Practical Tasks, which are basically mini projects. And we're trying to direct students even for these mini projects. Like at the moment, I have three particular projects, two of them with Vodafone Malta, where we're creating games for the mobile applications, for the mobile phones. And the other one is precisely with the ETC, the Employment and Training Corporation. And they came out with this request. They would like to create some game for the younger generation. Especially if you're a youth, that you just left the schooling system and basically you're at home looking for a job. But one of the problems of these youth is that they have no idea how to approach the employer or how to write a CV or these basic stuff, essentially. So what we're trying to do, we're going to create a Facebook game, because these days everybody has Facebook. So we thought Facebook is the right media. It will be a flash game similar to Farmville. And the idea is that actually it's called Facebook Castaway. So the idea is that you're on a deserted island. It's not really deserted, but and you're trying to leave this island. And essentially to leave this island, you have a number of tasks which you have to do. If you fulfill all these tasks, then obviously you get a trip to back home. But these tasks are all related to finding a job. So it's either you go to the local village and you try to seek employment, you write a CV. So essentially, they're building skills out of this game. So that's what we're trying to do. But I think these small exercises are quite important because it gives my students a different perspective. Unfortunately, when you think about IT students, it's all about programming. But the idea of writing a game, it's much more wider than that. I mean, you need script writers, you need designers, you need photographers, you need directors. Some of the larger games are as complex as if you're creating a new film. So it's not just related to students. So from my faculty's side, I think it gives my students this perspective, sort of that you're not just a programmer, you have to take care of design and other things. But there are other faculties which should get interested in this initiatives. There's the communications, because after all, we're communicating a message through the game. Architecture, we build buildings in the game, so why not? There's the educational aspect, so teachers should get interested. After all, it's much more fun to give a game to students. I'm sure they would all do their homework if you give them a game and learn something in the process. There's the languages, script writing. So I think most of the faculties should be interested in this initiative.
In the past, I've often mentioned this on this program, when I used to look after the careers convention, mm-hmm, in days gone by for the university, a lot of the students used to come on the stand and they said, well, you know, I'm good at maths, but I don't know what I can do with maths, especially the girls. The, mm-hmm, girls at that time, now probably things have changed, but the girls were really not sure. Even they a lot of them were good at maths, and, mm-hmm, and they really didn't know what to do with it. And I'm sure that if this message that you've just been saying, you know, were to go into the schools,
mm-hmm,
the guidance teachers and, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, others who have influence on children's decisions,
mm-hmm,
at a key stage in their in their lives, because it's no use really talking to them when they get to university. Really, you have to speak to them before. I mean, obviously, you're not necessarily going to go in and say, listen, you're definitely going to have a career in game production. Obviously, you can't do it like that. But certainly presenting to younger people the idea that they have different skills can be incorporated, and they can choose IT, but it's got much wider repercussions, much wider interests than one would have thought.
And games are quite different from other profession, because imagine, I don't know, if my son comes and tells me I would like to become an accountant. All right, I know what an accountant does, but I've never worked as an accountant, so I just imagine that it's about dealing with money and maybe create the accounting statements. But sort of it's a world which is quite distant from me, whereas the gaming world is very different. I mean, everybody would have a game on his mobile, and probably if you're waiting in a waiting room or on the bus or whatever, you'll start playing these games. So it's a world, I think, which is very much close to the people. Obviously, not everyone plays games. I mean, I accept that. But I think it's a world which maybe people understand much more than other professions.
The idea of this multidisciplinary effect of an area of development like digital games means that you're going to have to go for the cooperation, though, amongst various areas. And perhaps also bring in things like business, because at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to make some money out of the game that's produced. If you've actually gone through the ITER of creating the game within, say, your department, then it has to get out there. So there's a lot more involved than just even the creation of the game, I presume.
Yes, of course. In fact, as part of our initiative, we've launched as well three competitions, which is quite interesting. One of them is, well, two of them are targeted towards schools. One of them is towards the secondary schools. So the idea is we're working together with Microsoft, and they have this platform, it's called Kodu. And it's very graphical. You don't need to know any programming or whatever. You just use the mouse, click and move and put pictures and whatever, and you just create this game in a matter of minutes, I would say. So the idea is to raise interest in the secondary school. Then there's another platform, once again by Microsoft. They're providing the toolkits as well. It's called XNA. And that will be targeted towards the post-secondary schools and also university. So the idea is to invite lecturers and teachers from these institutions and provide a train-the-trainer session. Microsoft will bring over an expert in this field and he'll basically give a one-week session training for these teachers. Then towards the summer, we're aiming to create a summer camp, a game summer camp, where the idea is to teach the students. Sort of those teachers will go over and teach their students how to create a game. After the summer camp, the actual competition will start, which is quite simple. You have to create a game. And the deadline for the game is towards the end of the year. So, like that, we're trying to create interest. So those are two competitions, and then we have as well the third one. But the third one is more for the professionals or the those that work in the industry. So if you're, I don't know, a programmer or a designer working in an IT firm, or maybe you're working in an advertising firm, you find a lot of designers. So why not get together, create a group, and try to create a game? I mean, that's all we're asking. The idea is that if this experiment works, then hopefully we'll create a small, or they'll create a small independent company. All right, so we're working as well with Malt Enterprise on this, and hopefully we'll have a small, let's say, a cluster of small companies working in the game industry. Obviously, it's still an experiment, but hopefully, or at least I'm confident that people will form these teams and submit games.
So you're going to create a sort of community of people.
Yes, in fact, that's the idea, because we're aware that, imagine if we just create or we just organize a conference. I mean, people would come to the conference, they would sit there for 4 or 5 hours, maybe have some coffee, biscuits, and then they would go home. Probably they would say, what a good idea, the conference, and how useful it was. But after a week, everything would just be forgotten. So the idea is to create some sort of excitement. Listen, we want to create this community, but it's not just listening to what other people have to say, but we have to start doing something about it. So that's why we want to get these people together and form these small communities, as you said, and create their own game.
In fact, I think people who are into this kind of thing are used to even the idea of the virtual communication and passing information from one person to another. I know this, I don't know anything about it, but for example, the open source things which are on the web. I know that there are fora where you can discuss, and
yes.
So the idea, it should come naturally to people who are into that kind of thing, sort of group together and exchange ideas. What they need is perhaps sort of being put together, but guided into the community, so that it will be a constructive thing at the end of the day. So a sort of a startup help from ME, from Malta Enterprise, will probably be essential for something like that.
In fact, Malta Enterprise will help in this regard as well. As I said, I mean, the idea is to get these people together. We're aware that there are different people scattered around the island who have these interests. Some of them, even we know there are foreigners living in Malta that develop different elements for the game industry abroad. So essentially they telework with companies in Germany, in the United Kingdom, and they send either it's graphics or maybe it's music or scripts. So there are these people in Malta, but unfortunately we have no idea who they are, or at least we only know a few, but we don't know the rest. So our work at the moment is a sort of stock taking. We would like to see who's interested. We would like them to approach us, and we'll help them to get together and try to organize something together.
In fact, this is one of the things that is a bit frustrating about Malta, even about the alumni that we have. I'm part of my remit as Communications and Alumni Relations Office is the alumni, and I think it's really important that students like yours, when they've sort of left the umbrella of the university, that we keep in contact with them, because they go off obviously into the wide world and they start working, as you say, for IT companies and this sort of thing. And what we need to do is to be able to not lose them, to contact them, because to have the resource there and not actually be able to call upon that resource is a real waste of an investment, really.
Yes. You're right, and I can give you quite a good example. At the moment, one of the persons that's helping us in this initiative is Gordon Kaleja. He's a Maltese, but he's head of the gaming department at the IT University in Copenhagen. So, I mean, Gordon, I've met him a few months ago for the first time, but we've become friends. I mean, Gordon is an example of how these people can help us. I mean, we shouldn't lose contact with them, because they're invaluable. I mean, they go out, they work, they work in other countries, and through their work, they would build a whole network of contacts. So I think we should use these people and sort of help each other, after all, because that's what we're trying to do, towards achieving this goal. Let's not forget that this is not simply a goal of university. I mean, it's not just us. I mean, there are other institutions. There's MCAST. There's Malta Enterprise. Microsoft is helping us too. So, I mean, we're doing this really for Malta. I mean, it's something we're doing for our country, and eventually it will bring jobs to Malta. So, after all, it's jobs for our students as well. I mean, we're helping each other.
And what about the business side of things, really? Because mm-hmm. you can have a brilliant idea, mm-hmm. but unless it's actually going to be marketable, mm-hmm. it's going to sort of fall into a corner and gather dust probably on a shelf. Mm-hmm. How do you see? Do you see that as a problem? Do you see it as a challenge, a sort of euphemism for a problem? How do you think we can go about assisting people if this startup group comes up with something mm-hmm. really viable?
Mm-hmm. As I said, I mean, the first step is the competition. If they're interested, they should get into the competition and create the game, right? And then there's Malta Enterprise that is ready to help this group, let's say. And we're also trying to help, I mean, through the contacts which we have with other universities and the different people we're trying to get over to Malta, even like to give us some sort of consultancy on how to create this industry, because after all, we're creating an industry. So we're creating, let's say, the skeleton structure, all right? But we need people to get forward and create something so that we'll have something to work on. And then I'm sure with our hard work, we'll take it from there.
And you've recently been part of this business forum, mm-hmm. the first university business thematic forum. This is a first in a series of fora in which the university wants to contact business, keep in contact with mm-hmm. business. So here, this was an effort to stock take a little bit, get people on board, really, mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. think.
Yes, that was the idea, essentially. And as you see, even from the speakers, I mean, the idea was to get people both from industry, also from the academia, because if we don't speak together, I mean, how can we help each other in this? And since what we're trying to do is creating this industry, we have to work with everyone, practically, all right? Apart from that, don't forget that each and every one of us, I mean, including those people at the conference, they would have other contacts. So we're trying to create sort of kickstart this idea. And as I said as well, we're trying to create this excitement, because even after the conference, it's the excitement that keeps on going. So the idea of the business forum was precisely that, to get everyone in a room, brainstorm a little bit, and then we'll take it from there.
And if there's somebody listening to us today who would like to participate in one of these competitions, mm-hmm. How would they go about? Would they, through the school, probably they might know
yes.
about it already, but uh-huh. if there's somebody outside the system, mm-hmm. Who should they contact?
What we did was essentially to send the various email letters to the school informing them about it, but we'll send more details in the coming days as well. We'll probably have adverts in the newspaper, so that's one of it. And if they would like to contact, they can contact myself as well. I mean, they just send me an email or something.
Yes, and they'll find you on the search
yes, of
the university. Of the university, and they can send an email through
yes.
that. Well, that's great. We've run out of time. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Alexei Dingley, for coming to talk to us about this digital production initiative today on Research Matters. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do hope you can join us again next week for another edition of Research Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.